Welcome to the podcast for the Atazocan Suite, the concert that you are going to hear with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, led by the TSO's resident conductor, Simon Rivard, and Gary Kulesha, our composer advisor. I'm Rachel Malik, and I work in the Education Department at the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. I hope you are all looking forward to attending the performance at Roy Thomson Hall in either October or April. Here's a thought experiment for you. Imagine that Instagram suddenly changed its rules. Overnight, you are no longer allowed to use pictures or words to describe yourself. The only thing you can use are sounds. That's right, no selfies, no captions, just abstract sounds. Do you think you could manage? How would you represent yourself or place you live in using only music? This sounds like a silly question, but in some ways, that's exactly what the composers featured in our concert have done. They've each represented their home or their heritage using only music. The piece we were just listening to was Hopewell Cape, composed by Christine Donkin, a Canadian composer. When you hear a piece of music, do you think about who composed it? How about what inspired them to compose it? Sometimes a composer will try to tell a story using the orchestra as their storytelling device. Other times, a composer may choose to describe a scene or an image. Composers sometimes try to capture an emotion in their music. When describing this particular work, Donkin wrote the following. Hopewell Cape is named for a majestic and picturesque stretch of the New Brunswick coast. The remarkable Hopewell Rocks, the most famous features of the Cape, were formed as a result of erosion created by some of the highest tides in the world. These rock formations, some standing up to 70 feet tall, have existed for thousands of years. Although it may seem to us as though they are eternal and unchanging, they are, like our country and our lives, in a state of constant transformation. Often the change is imperceptible, but occasionally it is dramatic. In March 2016, one of the most prominent formations of the Hopewell Rocks collapsed, significantly altering the appearance of the landmark. In parallel, Canada has undergone many changes over the 150 years since its creation and will continue the process of transformation and renewal in the years to come. I think that it's up to the listeners like us to decide whether or not Donkin is choosing to describe the Hopewell Cape or whether she's trying to describe the feeling of transformation and renewal. When I listen to her piece, I can hear the waves crashing against the rocks in the rhythmic timpani and trumpet parts. The violins play undulating patterns that sound to me like the waves in the Bay of Fundy. But if I listen to it again, sometimes I hear the back and forth between lyrical string and woodwind melodies and the punctuated percussion and brass sections as a metaphor for transformation and upheaval. After hearing what the composer was inspired by, what do you hear when you listen to it again? Thank you. Isn't it interesting how knowing a composer's intentions can change the way we hear a piece? This is the magic of live music. You get to interpret the music any way you'd like. The concert you're coming to see gets its name from the feature piece on the program, The Atazocan Suite, written by composer Elliot Britton. Joining me in the studio today is Elliot. Elliot, we're so happy that you could join us today. Thanks for being here and welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
So, would you be able to tell us a little bit about the inspiration for Atazocan?
The Atazocan Suite came about because I got a phone call from Sandra Laronde right when I was in the middle of my interview at the University of Toronto. This is the first time that I've gotten a call and been asked to come in and have an interview to do a piece of work. And Sandra is the inspiration for this piece, and that she introduced me to the project and the creative team behind it, which is Nelson Tacuna and Gabe and Marie Godet. And they are the major inspiration. I worked with these artists and their sounds and the symbols and cultures that are behind Atazocan, and that's where it all started, and that's how it all came together.
Elliot, why do you think that Atazocan is especially relevant today?
I think one of the main reasons is that, first of all, this was a commission which was part of Canada 150, which was also connected to the Year of Truth and Reconciliation in Canada, which for the Indigenous community in Canada was a really big deal. And this was a big project that allowed a lot of Indigenous presence in a place where that's not necessarily that easy. I mean, I can't think of anything more intimidating for some people than the concert hall in terms of a giant cultural institution. So for an Indigenous person to be a soloist who walks out on stage for the first time in front of an orchestra, that is a very potent and important symbol, I think, for the future of Canadian music making. And the second thing is that it is really important, I think, to show that Indigenous and Métis music isn't necessarily part of just the past. A lot of people think about some of the more traditional symbols of Indigenous music and culture, and they always think about history. But part of the inspiration and also the importance of this work is that it really shows that Indigenous art making is happening now, and it's really, especially in this piece, looking towards the future.
What things in particular would you like students to listen for as they take in Atazocan in the concert hall?
I would say listening for the way that the electronic elements and the acoustic elements blend together. There are sounds where it sounds kind of like wind, but it's really a combination of the flutes and someone shaking a foil blanket that sounds, it's more like a chip bag, that are mixed with the violins making scratchy sounds and a sample of a bison exhaling, but pitched down and slowed down. So strange juxtapositions in this piece are something that can be really interesting if you sit and kind of really tune in your ear to some of the details. And it might not be the kind of sound that it sounds like it is at first hearing.
Your piece features Nelson Tacuna, an Inuit throat boxer. Can you describe a little bit what throat boxing is and how you incorporated that into Atazocan?
Nelson, as far as I can tell, is one of the only throat boxers that exist. And throat boxing is a combination of Inuit throat singing and beatboxing. There's a breathing element that is the throat singing element, and then there's a percussive beatboxing element, and the way that those two things connect together is what makes it so interesting and unique. So how I integrated it is sort of an interesting process because Nelson's in Baker Lake, and that's, you know, if you know anything about Canada, you know that that is very far north. So he looks at the major city in the north of the province where I'm from, Manitoba, and he calls that the south because to him, Churchill, Manitoba is only halfway between where he lives and where I live. So he's very far in the north. So that means that the two of us had to work together over the phone initially. So he would be throat boxing and beatboxing and sharing ideas with me back and forth. And I would be listening and discussing ideas about how he could fit into different kinds of situations with the orchestra and what kinds of things he needs to feel comfortable. And so then I took those ideas and then I broke them all apart with my computer. And then I analyzed them really carefully and slowed them down and looked at how his throat boxing works and how it came together. And then I rebuilt a lot of those gestures and sounds and rhythms with the orchestra as a unit. And then with that, I felt like I could kind of reintroduce Nelson and then have something that really feels like it fits together in a cohesive unit.
And what do you hope that students take away from the Atazocan Suite?
For me, the most important thing is that I want people to realize that orchestral music, even if it's deep or has a lot of different elements, can be a lot of fun. And there's nothing wrong with having a really great beat. And that the orchestra is a way to tell all kinds of different stories from different perspectives. For example, my background as a drum and bass producer and an electronic musician, and I kind of clamored my way up through the orchestral writing world, and here I am writing a piece for orchestra. And then Nelson is part of this project too, and he's a young artist from Baker Lake. The important thing for me is that there are all sorts of different perspectives that can be represented in a piece like this, and that the orchestra and orchestral music is alive and interesting today if you can find something that connects and resonates with you.
Elliot, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak with me. It has really been a pleasure.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hope you're looking forward to hearing the rest of the music and to seeing Red Sky Performance, including Nelson Taguna, perform alongside the orchestra. I'm Rachel, and I'll see you later this year when you hear this incredible music live with your very own Toronto Symphony Orchestra.